Welcome to Legends Among Us, a podcast devoted to the troopers and veterans of 3rd Cavalry Regiment. My name is Chaplain Jason Phipps. I'm the regimental chaplain, and thank you for joining us today. We have a great show ahead of us. We've got two incredible troopers from Thunder Squadron, and we have with us Captain Nicholas Basil and First Lieutenant Dominic D'Annunzio. Two of the four competitors from the Best Ranger competition this year joining us today, and very excited to have you both on the show. Nick, Dom, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us today.
Yeah.
This will be fun. So
if you guys could just kind of tell me specifically where you guys are located in Thunder Squadron, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, good to go, Nick.
I'm Captain Nick Basil. I'm currently a troop commander with Iron Hawk Troop. Within Thunder. Been in command now for about 11 months. Happy to be here.
Awesome.
Dominic D'Annunzio. I'm a platoon leader over in Lightning.
Okay.
So we're in the same squadron, different troop, but yeah.
Okay.
Been good. Been doing about 5 months, so.
Okay, so Nick, I know you came. Did you come from 10th Mountain, or where did you come from prior to here?
I came directly from the career course to the regiment. Did a little time on the regimental staff up at Camp Hovey when we were in Korea.
Okay.
And then June of last year, went down to take command of Iron Hawk.
Nice. And Dominic, is this first assignment?
Fresh out of Bullock, sir.
Fresh out of Bullock. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Great to have you guys here kind of on our inaugural episode of Legends Among Us. And the reason, obviously, that we brought you guys here is just to kind of hear a little bit about your Best Ranger experience. We know that you guys were two of four individuals that we sent from 3CR to compete in Best Ranger, and really just wanted to hear about the experience, how it was for you guys. I have my own perspectives on Best Ranger competition, having been stationed at Benning and having spent some time in Ranger Regiment, but really, I don't want to focus so much on that as I do your guys' experience and how you feel like the experience that you had there, the train up for it, and just the experience of being there competing with other guys from, and one female now apparently as well.
Killed it.
Yeah, that's I saw that. So that's maybe that's a different podcast down the road. But how that experience kind of shaped you all, what you brought back from that, and what you think you can contribute to the regiment as a result of your time there and that experience that you had. But before we get into that, how much more time do you guys have here at 3CR?
My timeline is still kind of in the works. As of right now, I'm here till next, like early summer of next year.
Okay.
However, I'm currently in the application process to the 75th Ranger Regiment.
Okay.
And I know Dom is as well. Both looking to aspire to want to serve that organization.
Yeah.
So both kind of in that process as well.
Well, that's great. I don't think I knew that about either one of you guys. I know you guys know Oliver Wood, and I think he's at RASP right now. So now that I have that information as well, I know that that will probably shape the conversation a little bit. Because I imagine you've had your personal aspirations to go to an organization like that, but I am kind of curious to know, and we can get into this a little bit later, how your time here has perhaps refined that desire to go there. If there have been some factors that have really been more motivators than perhaps demotivators to go to an organization like that, because a lot of times people leave, they go to a place like Ranger Regiment, or they do the long walk or do SFAS because they want to get out of the big army. So I'd like to believe in my idealism that you guys are just seeing this as like just the next season of your careers, but we'll get into that. Okay, so you got a little bit more time here, which is great. How was Best Ranger competition? Maybe talk about how you guys got selected, first of all, out of all the guys who are Ranger qualified in 3CR to compete.
Sure thing. I initially decided I wanted to compete in the Best Ranger competition when we were over in Korea. I began my train up over there. My background is I've recently had a strong desire for endurance training. The Best Ranger competition is just that, with a lot of other components to it. So it was right up my alley, exactly what I wanted to do. So got back from Korea, and in November, December timeframe of this past year, the the regiment held a tryout for its Ranger qualified, enlisted NCOs and officers to come forward and try to throw their hat into the ring. And so decided to do that. The tryout consisted of a tee. You had to hit the minimum of 80% standards. And then you went, instead of a 2 mile, we did a 5 mile. Mm-hmm. And then immediately following the 5 mile, there was an unknown distance ruck, which ended up being between 8 and 10 miles. Okay. With a 45 pound pack. So it was kind of one event back to back.
Okay.
And it was all in OCPs and boots. And so it's, you know, it's where Dom and I kind of met. Dom was pretty new to the squadron and to the regiment at the time, fresh out of coming out of Ranger school in right. Bullock, just hungry to get after it. And so like right off the get go, we were basically a pretty good click to kind of try to tackle this event together.
Yeah. Dom, you can expound upon this, but it's probably, I'm going to guess, rare to have somebody come out of like Bullock and Ranger school and within a year go compete in BRC. So I'm sure there was an OML built upon how you guys performed at that assessment, but what are your overall thoughts on how that played out for you sure. specifically?
Yeah, I think like the introduction to BRC, maybe in Bullock, I didn't really know a whole lot about it, but I knew that like we got shut down and that there were some dogs coming in to compete in competition, right? And that was where I got first introduced to it. You go and you watch them, you're like, wow, these guys are it. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of want to be like that. And so that was like my first introduction. Then going into, you know, Ranger, Airborne, Striker Leader, and then come into the unit to get the opportunity to jump into a competition like that was pretty cool. I was excited to show up with, honestly, the right timing, you know, because had it been like a couple weeks later, I would have missed it, you know, so I was very lucky to kind of slide in right before the tryout happened. Body was feeling good from that, so I said, why not? Let's give it a go.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been kind of curious about as we talk about this is when you guys got there, and I'm assuming you had an opportunity to talk to other competitors prior to execution, but what was 3CR's train up like compared to what other people were telling you? Now, I can speak from not like personal experience, but just having spent some time in Range Regiment, like those guys are hand selected and they have like months, like almost a year.
Right.
Like that's their place of duty for that whole year is just to train for that event. But that's obviously not the case for you guys. Was not the case for you guys. Probably not the case for some of your peers. But did you have an opportunity to kind of compare notes with regards to train up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just from talking to some of the other competitors. So this year was kind of a curveball in a way from the Ranger Training Brigade. I think a lot of units had already gone and done their tryouts around the similar time frame that the regiment we did it. I know like the 75th Ranger Regiment, they typically will go about maybe 6 months out from the competition and tryouts, maybe a little bit beforehand compared to when we actually did the tryout selection.
Right.
But there were several units that had already conducted a tryout. And then we actually had got notification from our coach that over the winter break period, the Ranger Training Brigade was trying to change the policy to enable more presence at the competition of enlisted and non-commissioned officers.
Okay.
So they kind of changed the competitor team guidance. Historically, there's been a lot of like officer teams.
Right.
And so they wanted to spread that wealth and at least mandate that you had an officer and an NCO or maybe an officer enlisted compete together. At that point, Dom and I had already begun training and had been selected by, you know, the regiment to go out and do this. So we went ahead and submitted like an exception to policy for this year.
Okay.
And just, you know, kind of kept training in the process.
Did the Korea rotation like interfere with that at all for you guys as you prepared, or was that like a non-factor?
I think by the time we got back from Korea, most of the flights were back by the end of October. It may have affected it slightly, just like when they conducted the tryout. But
right.
for the most part, they had a good plan with, you know, as they outlined in the campaign plan as to, you know, who was going to run the tryout and kind of the time frame it was going to be. I think in the future years, something that we've discussed is, you know, it should maybe be done a little earlier, just so we can identify the team and just get them as many resources and training opportunity as possible.
Yeah.
But
no, that's good. And I know we had two other competitors as well. Were they from Thunder or were they from a different squadron?
Yeah, they were from a different squadron. Not Steel. I think they're from Steel. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So they were.
Okay. And they were enlisted, weren't they?
One was an officer, one was enlisted.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was an XO from Steel. might have been regulator battery.
Okay.
And then Specialist Highland was, he's actually one of the sniper in Sabre. Yeah, he was, I think he was fresh out of Ranger School too.
yeah, newly promoted specialist. Yeah. He was probably first class when I first met him. It was awesome. Gosh. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's, I didn't know they were from Steel. So that's pretty, that speaks to the breadth of experience that exists within this organization, that you can take somebody from the Field Artillery Squadron, who you would not expect and does not have a lot of like Ranger qualified troopers on their MTO, and pull that person out of that squadron and send them off to a very prestigious competition. So that's pretty cool. Did you guys talk much as two teams while you were there, or were you just kind of like in your own individual worlds preparing?
To be honest, I think throughout the training process, Dom and I were definitely separate from them. From the get-go, we had hired a coach, a former winner of the Best Ranger competition in 2021. Okay. His name was Vince Bukowski.
Okay.
He won it with the 75th Ranger Regiment. We just had that, you know, that program already established as the second team was picked to also compete. We shared some lessons with them in the initial stages, but throughout the process, and I think just as a result of like our positions that we had, me being in a key development position and Dom, you know, soon taking a platoon, we just kind of had to find our own time frame to train together.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hard for us to like maximize that with two additional competitors.
Sure.
So.
No, that makes sense. And when you guys got there, because I never really paid attention to this when I was there, was it like a day zero and then day one, like you're jumping right in, or did you guys have some time either to? No, you guys did leave early. You guys left early to kind of acclimate to the climate. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
How long, when did you guys get there? Like how early?
We were there about a week early.
Okay.
I think we left like the week before.
Okay.
So we got some chance to get down there, get our feet wet, go check out some of the training areas we knew they were going to use. Just kind of refamiliarize yourself with Fort Benning. So that was definitely a huge sustain. Like I know some guys, even the other team that competed, like hopped off the plane.
Oh, wow.
The day before competitor week. And that was, you know, a midnight drive in and right into it. So that was, that'd be a struggle. Yeah, so
that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so they have a pretty like ironed out timeline of how competitor week leading up to the Friday start of the competition should be. So like, and we had no idea what that was like going in, aside from the insights that we got from our coach.
Yeah,
we knew we kind of expected it was going to be just like longer days, them familiarizing us with the task condition standards of each of the events.
Sure,
showing us kind of the, like Don was saying, the different booked land. Areas that they had, so we can kind of get familiarized with where we'd be reckoning on the course and all that. From like Monday to Thursday before the start of the competition on Friday, it was all led by Ranger Training Brigade, and we were there kind of with all the other competitors as well, you know, getting different briefs, understanding and asking questions about how the scoring was going to occur and just things like that. So so that was kind of like our mandatory acclimation period. Dom and I did get a chance to go down a week before then to kind of, you know, get more familiarized ourselves and do some last minute training down there.
One of the events is helo casting, right?
Yes. Yeah. Later in, I think that was day three, they had a helo cast out there.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So coming from like a leg unit, like 3CR, we're not like doing any kind of airborne operations. We don't even have rotary wing assets to just access whenever we need to do stuff like this. How did you guys adapt to doing something like helo casting and mentally preparing for that, knowing that that was going to be part of the competition?
To be honest, we knew that was going to probably be like a day three event. Mm-hmm. And so our focus was really going into the competition. Dom and I knew we had to like prioritize and maximize day one, because day one was going to be the make or break. That was kind of on the line towards the, at least for me, I'm sure for you, like the back of our mind. They did do like a walkthrough of how to like set up your poncho raft and how to, you know, approach the aircraft the right way and all that, kind of like your cold load type train.
Yeah.
And so all the competitors got familiarized with it. During the competition, we ended up getting cut on the morning of day three. So we didn't get a chance to actually go through the helo cast.
Okay.
But nonetheless, still a good like acclimatization, understanding how to do it in the event we were to go back and do it again.
Sure. So you said day three, you guys were pretty much done. What was the rest of the time like for you all during the competition? Were you able to kind of watch the remaining teams compete, or were you guys like, all right, we're prepping to
Yeah, so RTB on day three of the morning, we just finished with the night land nav. We're in Tyrion. At this point, we're probably, 48 hours into the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you pretty much don't sleep at all during the competition. So, like, I think, afterwards, they don't really intend on competitors that are maybe cut to, come back and spectate. All the competitors, at that point, we were out all at Camp Darby, just finishing up with the Arslick Land Nav course. And so we got pushed back towards the training brigade headquarters and just kind of got out processed from there. Nonetheless, it was a great experience just through the first 48 hours of the competition.
Good.
So,
well, I wanted to ask you guys, mentally, emotionally, perhaps even spiritually, how did you do for those first 48 hours and then to not make it as far as you would have liked to have made it? Like, how did you all deal with, I'm sure there was some disappointment there, obviously. How did you all deal
big time
with that?
Yeah.
Working through an entire train up, with each other, both of us having not competed before.
Yeah.
So kind of not exactly knowing what to expect when you're actually in the fire. That was tough, I guess. Physically, we felt like we were able with our coach. He's a great competitor and mentored us really along the way physically. I think we learned a lot of lessons in nutrition along the way for how to fuel for a type of endurance event like that. But I think our letdown was stuff that we could control that we didn't do super well, I think is probably the biggest thing. So it's when you step into the fire or something like that, no matter how much training you do, either you perform or you don't.
Yeah.
And on that day, it wasn't our day. I think we were proud of the train up that we did, and we'll take these notes and look forward to the next team that's going and hopefully pass those along. But our strength coaches always used to say, you're a dog or you're not. You either got it or you don't. And that day, we just didn't have it, So that's, as a competitor, that's definitely disappointing, know, to train up for something like that, step into the arena and face some great dudes, great dudes, both physically and just being people. Yeah, we felt like we could compete and we just didn't, unfortunately, bring it that day.
Just for some context for the listeners, so the Best Ranger competition, it's a 3-day event, and it's typically comprised of several physical events back to back to back in conjunction with marksmanship proficiency. And in this case, this year, there was a lot of skill related tasks as well as just general knowledge. I think where Dom and I just didn't hit the mark on some of it to acquire the number of points that we needed to kind of place in the top 16 going into day three really came down to, I think, the range time. I mean, just from looking at where we, and going back through the metrics of kind of how they posted it day by day, we were very competitive in the first several physical events. And I think where we lacked was kind of how we performed during the Ranger Reckoning events on day one. There was periods of time where we definitely came alive. We came alive at night together on day one, going with the night unknown distance road march, which was its own beast and fun.
Right. I can only imagine.
And then going into day two, where we were in the Coliseum doing the different events, thought we did okay there. Some lessons learned for sure. For the most part, like Dom was saying, there's moments where, you're in the arena and sometimes you're able to perform, sometimes you're not able to perform, and there's a lot of lessons we gained from it. Yeah, just happy to be out there to compete amongst the best Rangers in the community.
I want to transition a little bit and talk about how your experience, maybe look at your experience from maybe a more of a metaphorical perspective, and how what you trained up for, the amount of patience and endurance, and of course we like to say intestinal fortitude that you all displayed in preparation, not only in preparation for this event, but also throughout the time that you all competed. And you talked a little bit, Nick, about just the night land nav. I remember distinctly, and maybe you guys had this similar experience, whenever we would do any kind of night movement in the school, and I've never experienced this before, not even when I was at Ranger Regiment and I was maybe going out on target or hanging out with QRF, did I ever experience this, where you're doing a night movement and you're going through a swamp and you get caught in a thicket and everybody stops and it is pitch black. Even though you know there's an RI somewhere at the front of the chalk, it was one of the most despairing moments I feel like I ever had in that school, because it's just blackness. I'm I would not want to wish this upon anybody, being just this lost. There was a lesson to be learned in that, obviously, that even in the midst of the unknown, we were going to come out of this somehow, that we're going to just leave us out there. So maybe talk about what it was that kind of energized you being in a similar situation, obviously not caught in a swamp in a thicket, but you're actually still having the stress of trying to find these points at night when you're tired, you're stressed, and you're competing with other people. You're not necessarily competing with yourself, but maybe you are. I don't know. Elaborate on that a little bit if you guys want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So as I was kind of trying to provide some context earlier, the first 40 hours of the competition are pretty back to, everything's back to back. This year, with the competition being the 250th anniversary of the infantry, they wanted to add some special components to the competition. Okay. And they actually changed the entire style of the competition than previous years.
Yeah.
So the big kicker with the competition this year was that, and it was primarily on day one. So typically in the past, you would do your first opening run event, and then there'd be kind of like a small lull between that event and then going into the next one, and then into the next one and so forth throughout the day. And it would typically culminate with like the night road march. The difference of this year was that on day one, the first three events were a buy-in. It was a running clock. And they cut, I want to say it was 18 teams.
Yeah, somewhere, I think so. Yeah.
So we started off with like 52 teams, and they cut down to, I want to say it was either 40 teams or just below 40 teams after the first three events alone, which was like the first three to 4 hours of the competition. And then instead of kind of, you know, after those different events going from like range to range, what they did was they provided a opportunity for teams to kind of war game how they would select their route. Okay. So it was called Ranger Reckoning. So there was, you know, multiple ranges that they had pre-designated, you know, grids given to us for, and then Dom and I had to kind of essentially land nav our way around Fort Benning to get to all these different Ranger Reckoning events.
Interesting.
Before a final like drop dead time to begin the Malvesti obstacle course that evening.
Okay.
And then shortly after that, transition to the night road march.
Got it.
So in total, between the first three events and then transitioning to Ranger Reckoning and then kind of continuing with like the night road march and all that, it was probably about, from what we gathered from the from the personnel that are running the competition, it was between 50 to 60 miles already put on the body.
Wow.
So by the time we were in the position that we were before we got cut on the morning of day three, having done the night land nav course, the star course, I think, you know, like Dom was saying, nutrition was a big factor. And then obviously just the sleep too.
How were you guys doing like emotionally during all of this? Like that's what I'm kind of interested in. I know that this like beats down your body and your soul to some degree, but how are you guys doing just emotionally going through this gauntlet, if you will?
The toughest emotional part for me was the train up, actually, because with the roles that we were in as a PL and a commander, you're up at 5 to work out before, because some of the things that our coach would have us do would take 2.5 hours in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So you're up early every day, and then you like work your normal 9 to noon. And then you have your afternoon session. So like from noon to 1:30, you're in the gym again or out carrying something, climbing some rope somewhere. And then the evening you might have a ruck, right? And so you kind of get off maybe whenever we could at 6:30 or whenever both our days would finish. You'd finish your workout at 7:30, 8 p.m. rolls around and you're eating dinner at 8 to go to bed at 9. Just to wake up and do that again. So like the toughest thing, I think, like you're competing for 3 days, like, you know, there's an end. My body locked up when we were in Victory Pond. When we were swimming across Victory Pond, like for the third event, like I completely locked up, but I knew it was going to end.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to end relatively soon.
Yeah.
When you're training for months at a time, like, you know, you have that the next day.
Right.
And then the next day, and then the next day after that, right?
Yeah.
And then Sunday rolls around, and guess what? You're starting right back in the next week.
Sure.
So that was kind of my mental stress, and where I would say my breaking point was more in the train up phase, where I knew that I had to sustain this effort for over months versus over like a couple 3 days in the competition. And yes, we might not have placed anywhere near where we wanted to in the competition, but at least like I knew that I would get a chance to go out and compete for the work that I put in for the last couple months. In the actual competition, I'd say the lowest time. What was that creek that we had to cross for land nav? I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
we tried to find that fording point for hours. It was wild. So like, you know, you're stumbling around after your body's broke down and you're trying to find this fording point. I don't even know what that swamp, creek, lake. I thought it was a lake, but
yeah, and emotionally, like the energy is so high there.
Yeah,
like it is an such an impressive event to be at.
Sure.
Like the moment when we were on that starting line of the first event was incredible.
Yeah,
you had the two Virginia long rifles that went off, and everybody wants to go so hard out of the gate.
Yeah,
to include me, and I was guilty of that a little bit. And Dom helped me reel that back in, and that's kind of where that. Where we had trained together kind of paid off. But throughout the weekend, it's just an emotional roller coaster. And sure. I think by the time that, you know, we're in the position like Dom was just mentioning, you know, at the end where we were at, we're our own self-critics. And so I think going in, Dom and I had just such strong goals to be, you know, at least a day three finisher. And we believed we could do that. We really did. And I think emotions were just high going into that final, like, star course. We knew that this event could make or break our destiny to continue in the competition. So it's like, how do we find a way to keep driving when we're broke down right now? And how do we avoid continuing to think where we could have made up points from the previous day or something like that? And how do we just focus on the now? And we just did what we could at the time.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the moment together, going through it.
Yeah, stepping out of the low, I would say, like, what motivates you to, like, surpass that is you don't want to let your partner down. You know, just like anything in the military, like, it's a buddy team duo, I think, for a reason, you know, because, like, you're kind of playing off of each other the whole time. So it's like, how do I keep driving? It's like, well, because I'm not competing for myself. I'm competing for the person next to me and the patch that I'm wearing on my right shoulder. Like, there's a lot of other people that I represent. So I think that's kind of where, like, the drive comes forward. It's like you're representing a bunch of people who put the trust in you to send you there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So speaking of the unit, Brave Rifles, who was down there? Did RCO or RCSM come down to see you guys? I'm trying to think if anybody came down to...
Lieutenant Hannah came down. He took a couple pictures of us.
There was actually cool, there were some former Thunder lieutenants that were actually, you know, there for, I think it was either the career course or...
Okay.
Or something, but they were there kind of helping spectate, which is kind of cool. I think Dom and I were getting ready to start Malvesti on day one, and they were there. It was a good, it's kind of a refreshing thing.
Representing.
Yeah. Dom's family was there, so that was nice to have that. There's a good amount of spectators and, you know, some familiar faces you run into, which is kind of neat to see on the course.
Good. That's great to hear. Yeah. So you guys have, like, another year to kind of teach, coach, and mentor as leaders within this organization. So you've had this experience, incredible train up, learned a lot professionally and personally from BRC itself. So you bring all that back here. You're still influencing your formations. Like, what do you think that looks like? How would you take what you experience and apply it to your time in Thunder working with troopers who may not necessarily have the same motivation and drive that you guys do?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we talked about doing this at our unit, maybe that's not as high vis as some of the other ones, is we really wanted to do well so we could be like that force multiplication for a base like this. We didn't do that. That's our fault. Like, as the duo and the things that we work for, like, we did not place in the spot that allows us to increase our visibility here. So that was one of the disappointments we had. But by saying that, as the individual person, like, the lessons that we learned from our coach, the competition, all the people around there, we need to continue to push that onto our guys and this base to build force multiplication here. Whether that means, like, running down legends on more than one day, but Monday, right? Yeah. Like, it's not illegal to run down that road on, you know, Tuesday through Friday, which doesn't happen. You know, so, like, stuff like that, that we can try to make a change, at least that, like, I know I'm trying to implement in the platoon. I'm sure you're doing as well with the company. Because people see that, you know, and then, like, once one domino falls, hopefully more do. And I think, like, kind of that's our task now. Like, yes, it would be great to train up the next best Ranger team, but I think more of our money would be made with the individual soldier and the individual unit, holding ourselves to the standard that we continued to practice, not exactly like letting off the gas, but like pushing these guys within reason to kind of reach that point, sir, if that makes sense.
It does. As you might imagine, to some degree, being on an installation like Fort Cavazos, which is very, like, armor heavy, not necessarily 3CR, although to some degree we are, I imagine it would be more challenging to find individuals who want to go to like Ranger school or to compete in Best Ranger or to do things that will challenge them and test them more than what they're being tested right now. Yep. We're seeing like increasing generations of soldiers, officers and NCOs who have not deployed, mm-hmm. who haven't had those hard experiences. And so again, another challenge, another hurdle that you guys might be having to face in terms of having some kind of influence in the lives of soldiers and troopers to do things, just do harder things with the possibility of us transitioning back to armor over the next year. Now we're looking at like losing that population of 11 series guys who have either gone to that school before they arrive here, or they don't go to Ranger school, don't go to Best Ranger because they don't have to. Mm-hmm. Because they're armor and they're learning how to work on tanks and drive tanks, not do 5K offset infills to take out some high value target. Do you all think that far into the future, or are you just kind of like in the here and now? You guys mentioned just as you were competing, you're just like, all right, we got to operate in the here and now, not think about the 300 meter target, but more the 25 meter target. Any thoughts on how that might shape your ability to influence your respective formations going into the next like 6 months to a year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think regardless of what the unit type is, there's the ability to recognize that that unit and that individual should try to commit to something hard, try to commit to something that is going to better themselves. It's going to make them vulnerable. The motto I have for my troop is take courage, right? And it's the ability to not be afraid to throw your hat into the ring and try.
Yeah.
Whether that's the Best Ranger competition, whether that's going to a school, whether that's signing up for education classes to get a degree or work towards that, it's how you approach that and how do you commit to the process.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of lessons that, I think just Dom and I gained just even from Best Ranger and the train up as it was, especially being in the positions that we're in. A huge driving component for why we did it was to show people that you can commit to a process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are or what position of leadership you hold. If you care about the process and you care about wanting to do something, you'll find a way to make the time and just throw your hat into the ring. You fail, you get back up, and it's what makes you, it's how you express that vulnerability and how you can be genuine with others to share that same experience. And
no, that's good. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, Nick, in terms of like our inability within an organization like the United States Army to be vulnerable, to fail things. I've certainly failed things in the Army myself. And it's interesting that, it's water under the bridge at this point, but there was a period of time where I just didn't want to like talk about, if nobody knew that I had failed air assault school, mm-hmm. then I wasn't going to talk about it because it was something so insignificant, but people don't want to talk about it. So for somebody who maybe has not achieved as much in their Army career, I'm thinking about specifically like that specialist or that sergeant who really hasn't maybe done too much. And then they go off to like, master gunnery course or something and they fail that. Or they go off and do like some PME and they fail, they get kicked out or whatever. That may be even more difficult for them to process because they don't have other things that they can rest upon that they have succeeded in. You guys obviously have things that you've succeeded in, and you competed at one of the highest levels within the Army. And though you did not go as far as you would have liked, you're a fraction of the population who's even gotten to that place to begin with. So you've got a lot of credibility with which to influence other individuals, which I think it's why it's so important that we do that. 3CR continues to send competitors to Best Ranger because at the end of the day, it's more valuable for us perhaps than it is for you guys that you went and competed and raised some awareness about the type of soldiers and troopers that we have within this organization. So I appreciate you guys doing that. Just from your perspective, how has maybe being in 3CR changed you as a leader, as an individual? How has it shaped your character?
Mm-hmm. I think kind of going back to the point that you brought up about failure, people will gripe and complain about where they're at, the history of this base, like whether good or bad. It kind of falls back on us as leaders that are sitting in this room and, across the street right now over at Regiment. Yeah, sure, maybe we're transitioning over to more of like a heavy side, but like, does that mean we're just going to cower over and disregard all of the training and things that we believe in about pushing ourselves, working hard, because we could be about it or not, you know, like it's either like we're going to take that next step and continue to push not only our soldiers, but ourselves, like even more so. I think that's kind of the biggest thing that like I've learned from being here, and I've got refreshed by like the people sitting in this room right now. Some of my other leaders at my level is the ability to kind of come together and try to make a change, because like, is it the fault of the soldier or are we looking at the leader enough? Are we looking internally at ourselves for all these problems that we bring up and gripe and complain about? It's like, well, what are you doing to fix it? Or are you just going to continue complaining about it? Right. Yeah. Maybe like not so many people are volunteering to go to schools or like push themselves in different ways that this base versus like some of the other high profile units are doing. Like, is that a culture problem or is that just a soldier problem? Because I'm pretty sure like those units are getting the same guys that we are, right? They're coming out of basic somehow from somewhere, right? So why does it work at one unit but not here, you know? So I think that falls back on us as the leader and kind of like a wake-up call that, is this your last step in your career and you're just going to punt, or are you going to actually do something about it? You know, so like, what are you willing to put in work, or are you just cool with us taking a backseat in the army?
Yeah.
You know?
And living out kind of the status quo.
Right.
Yeah. It was explained to me that there are two things: the culture of an organization, which is kind of this immovable, fixed concept that exists. Like, culture usually doesn't change, but climate does change. That is more of a fluid concept, and that is shaped largely by the leaders that come in and the leaders that go out of an organization. That's when climate tends to shift, is when that transition takes place. So obviously you guys are at this place that within your sphere of influence, you're able to shape the climate based upon your experiences and your degree of motivation and how much you believe in the organization as a whole, not so much the stereotypes that might exist within 3CR, but really the history and the lineage of this organization and why we exist in the first place.
Yeah. And what do we do well? You know, like, we're not going to be 3rd Ranger Battalion, right? You know, we're not an airborne unit, but like, what does this place do well?
Yes.
You know, how do we get to that?
Yeah.
Like, how do we find that? How do we revisit that again?
Yeah. And when we do find that, to pursue it with excellence as well, and not just, all right, that's what we've done in the past, but to take our historical roots and refine them and build upon them as well.
Yeah, I think people just need to look at it as, this is our page in history that we can write.
Yeah.
And
it's a good way to put it.
You know, this unit has a storied legacy, but the question needs to be asked to the individual and the leader: how do you want to shape the continued legacy within the regiment?
Yeah.
Whether we move to being an ACR or not, it's going to be another page in our history.
Sure.
So it's, how do you write that? What do you do now? And how do you look yourself in the mirror now in the culture that you want to establish?
Yeah.
To make that legacy true.
Agreed. Really, guys, really appreciate your time. Nick, Dom, continue to shape the formation while you're here. And hopefully you guys will continue to do great things in the United States Army. But again, great to have you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, sir.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for tuning in this week. We hope you tune in again next time. Sergeant First Class Greg Hill will be joining us for an episode, and he will have an opportunity to talk about his time here at 3CR going back all the way to 2006. So hope you join us again for another episode of Legends Among Us. Have a great day. Aiyah.